It is. Very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. Now, there is a lot of madness going on at the moment, of course, in Southport in the UK. The tragic story of those children who have died and other children who are critically ill because one man decided, take it upon himself to walk in with a knife and take a lot of people's lives. The man has been arrested. There's a lot of speculation online as to what the police are and aren't telling people. That broke out into a riot last night. Can I say, you know, can I call for calm in general in relation to this? Now, I know we've had an incident ourselves here last November, and it's not something we're used to, I suppose, in Europe to see, you know, that kind of thing happen, particularly, you know, people picking on vulnerable children. It happened in France as well. But all I will say is keep calm in relation to these situations and wait till you get all the information. And if you do want to protest, please do it peacefully. The idea of people walking around brandishing knives at protests, and a lot of police were injured last night as well. And I know now they have a huge clampdown, and they actually have a curfew in that town in Southport in the UK at the moment. There's a court order now to keep people indoors at night, which we don't want to see that situation happen. Keir Starmer needs to change direction. The Irish government needs to change direction. We all know what it's all about. We all know the underlying problem. But that's something that we need to deal with our voices, not with our hands. So please, I would ask, you know, people in all walks of life, when you're protesting in relation to Coolock or Crookslyn or Dundrum or whatever it happens to be, and you want to protest, please do it peacefully. There's a shocking story yesterday, by the way, in the paper, and I brought it to the attention of Twitter and got quite a substantial amount of reaction on it in relation to a couple and their two children who have built a cabin on their own land right up the road from Crookslyn, actually. And I made the point that welcome to Ireland. If you're Irish, you can be jailed for providing accommodation for your own family if you don't have planning and you can't get retention. Yet it's acceptable for the government to house hundreds of strangers from another part of the world only a couple of hundred yards up the road without planning permission, and you have no right to object. There does seem to be some sort of contradiction in that. And I understand we have to have planning laws. I get all of that. But, you know, surely we can look at individual cases and decide what needs to be done, particularly at the time when there's a crisis in accommodation. I will be speaking to the owner of that log cabin a little bit later on today, and we'll put that out on our podcast later on. But I wanted to do something slightly different today, which was, I suppose, what we need to be careful of going forward is children. We need to make sure they're educated, they're independent, they can look after themselves. And of course, the next generation are as intelligent as we are, because according to research, they're not. And that surprises me, because I had this argument the other night, and how I ended up looking this up was, I was on the radio talking to somebody and we were chatting away, and they said that children nowadays are less intelligent, and I didn't believe them. I said, that couldn't be true. Surely with all the technology we have around nowadays. And he said, cite your source, and then sent me a few links to different research studies that have been done. And there are many of them. And actually, it was only highlighted in the Daily Mail going back about a month ago. But it seems young people appear to be getting less intelligent, according to new research. And the research, which was reported originally in the UK Times, found that the IQ scores are dropping after a steady increase since the 1930s. The trend, which reverses a previous pattern of rising intelligence known as the Flynn effect, has been partially attributed to less traditional teaching methods. And the study found that people born in 1991 scored about 5 points lower than those born in 1975. And those born in 1975 scored an average of 3 points lower in the IQ test than those born in 1962. More recent studies have shown since 2000 the IQ level has dropped again, and it also shows that today's teenagers have become more dependent on their guardians and less independent. Boys' level of independence has increased slightly, but teenage girls has decreased. Now, this is due most likely to the fact that boys' independence levels were extremely low for many years because they had doting Irish mothers. Well, not just Irish mothers, mothers around the world. Researcher Ollie Rugberg told The Times that changes in the way children were educated or brought up, such as less time drilling pupils in reading and mathematics, were very influential. Experts suggest that, contrary to popular belief, the availability of technology has made children academically lazy, and they don't have the retention and they don't retain information anymore. Whereas the only Google we had in our days, of course, was our brain. And it goes on to say 10 alarming reasons why Gen Alpha, which is the teenagers today, are struggling to read. Busy parents, ineffective teaching methods, overuse of technology, online school puts kids behind. In other words, during COVID, big class sizes, lack of socialization with other children, behavioral issues and undiagnosed learning disorders. Now, last month in the Daily Mail, the headline was Generation Alpha slammed as feral, illiterate, screen obsessed iPad kids, even though 1 in 5 Gen Z's demographic supervillain successes are still in diapers. and it talks about the latest generation of youngsters have triggered concerns about the future with their excessive use of technology and internet trends coming under the spotlight. So the question I really want to ask you today is, do you believe the research? Do you think children nowadays are less intelligent, lower IQ, and more dependent on us as adults and their guardians? Let me know what you think. The number is 085 122 55. Or are these studies... Well, I suppose you can have a study to say anything you wanted to say, really, don't you? Depends on which way you interpret your studies. But joining me is school teacher and spokesperson for AIM2, Eric Nelligan. Eric, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. Thank you for having me on this afternoon.
You were the first person I thought of when I read the study, because I've had you on numerous times. I know you're a school teacher and you're dealing with children on a daily basis. Do you think it's true, Eric?
Yeah. Do I think it's true? Is what I would say is Ireland is getting to that purposes. Mm. So we could be on the verge of hitting our decline. So just let's take a small step back for a second. So what we're talking about here is IQ. And for people that are listening that don't quite know exactly what IQ means, is it's the ability of a person to solve a problem using reason and logic. So
common sense.
Might be given common sense. You might be given patterns, or if cat is equal to kitten, what is dog equal to for that? Do you know what I mean? So and what we saw is across the Western world, IQ increased gradually and up until maybe the 1980s in the most advanced countries. So countries like America, IQ increased steadily from the 30s to the 80s. And that's put down to common sense things, really. It's come down to families are getting smaller. So children, parents spend more time with their children. Children get more attention. They get more help reading. They get more help doing the things around the house. So smaller families is one. Better food, better pregnant women minding themselves far better. Pregnant women drinking less and, you know, eating better. Children in general, the food we eat now there's better quantities of it than there would be in a more varied diet. So up until the 80s in America and probably up until the 90s or so, 2000s in Ireland. Education systems have got better, more people attended school, more people did things like that. And then we have an evolving world. So we're now, I suppose, if you think back to the 30s, people were very insular, didn't really know what happened outside their own parish or their own town. As the world got bigger and newspapers and media and all that started getting more common, people had a broader idea of what was happening all around the world. So they were the reasons why education and IQ standards increased in America up until the 80s. And then countries are a little bit further behind, kind of like Ireland, I suppose, because we would have been a decade or so behind. We increased up until the 90s and early 00s. And what we now see is countries that were less developed than us, Far East countries like the Chinas and the Thailands and the Philippines, they are now surging ahead of Western countries because they haven't hit that stalemate yet. Mm-hmm. So now what we're talking about is why have things got worse across the world and even declined. Yes, in England and America, things have declined. So I presume you've got to put it down to the shifts in the how families rate education, and we see that a little bit in Ireland now. There was a time when being a teacher was seen as a high prestigious job. And I'm a teacher, and I'm saying this, that's no longer the case, really. It's kind of, it's ranked as a middle-of-the-road job now.
Are teachers as well-trained as they would have been, you know, going back, you know, in my day I'm talking about the lay teachers, not the religious teachers, there was a different type of training. But are teachers as well-trained as they would have been in the day?
Well, what I would say is, when I went to third level to study to become a teacher, I did a pile of stuff that was no relevant to the classroom. So we did advanced math, advanced engineering, because I'm an engineering graphics teacher. We did stuff that was no relevant to the classroom. So I actually came out of third level education being worse at the skills of drawing and mathematics for the people I was teaching than I went in with.
Because I know a mate of mine who's a primary school teacher, right? And he loves his job because he gets so much holidays. But he's a primary school teacher. But he's as thick as a plank. I mean, the guy is, he's just not intelligent. And he's a primary school teacher. And I'm going, how do you get away with it? You know? And he just loves the job. And he loves working with the children and everything else. But he's not the brightest spark in the box. Like, you know what I mean? I just know he's not.
Well, if you look at the point system to go to third level, to do an arts degree now, people can check it out. To do an arts degree now, 300 points will get you into most arts degree courses. That's less than, you're probably in the bottom 40% of Leaving Cert graduates with 300 points, maybe even less than that. So, and arts is one of the main movers towards becoming a secondary school teacher. Now, primary school, in fairness, now primary school teaching points are still quite high. Mm. They're still in the mid 400s, high 400s. But definitely for secondary school, people who don't do as good in the Leaving Cert, and that's obviously one yeah. method of judging somebody, but people who don't do good in the Leaving Cert can get into secondary school teaching, well, definitely the initial stages of it. So I suppose back to think, why has it gotten worse? Food has gotten worse. Look, think of the food now. Think of the food we're eating now, the processed food, the amounts of treats and snacks. And I see my kids, we're eating a lot more than I would have eaten.
Pizzas and chips and
So food has gotten worse. And you mentioned in your introduction, the behavior of the risk-taking of children, like helicopter parenting is a phenomenon in the Western world. Like, I probably do it myself. I try not to do it, but I probably do it. Definitely some people do it a lot.
Kind of hovering over their shoulder constantly. Correct. And not allowing them to make mistakes.
Yeah. Niall, when you were thrown out on the road when you were younger, during the summer holidays, you were probably told, go off there now, come back for lunch, and we won't see you again for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah. And so I remember leaving. I can't count on one time and the amount of times I said I was leaving home, right? Myself and me, I was even 12. And we'd say, right, I'm leaving home. And my mate would say, right, I'll go in and rob a packet of biscuits. And we go, right. And we used to call it going on gur, right? Which is when you were leaving home. I don't know if you've ever heard that term. And you'd go missing at 10 o'clock in the morning and you wouldn't arrive back till 7 o'clock at night. You'd think you were leaving home. You'd eventually go home, of course, with your packet of biscuits after eating your packet of biscuits. But I mean, we would, and our parents didn't mind. They didn't worry too much about us. So, but in saying that, so that comes down to the lack of independence, because in the study that I was looking at as well, it said that boys' independence had increased slightly. Mind you, that wouldn't have been difficult because our independence was very low because we depended on our mothers very much, so Irish mammies, whereas girls had decreased. Now, that just goes to show you how it's kind of levelling off now. But in relation to the academia and the IQ and everything else, is it technology? Because we didn't have Google, Eric. Our brain was Google. No. That was the only way, or down to Raheny Library. So that was the only Google we had, right? Whereas kids nowadays, they don't have to remember stuff anymore, you know, because they can just look it up in 2 seconds on Google. So they don't need to retain the information. So maybe the brain has kind of evolved to not retain as much information unnecessarily.
You're totally right. I was at an education conference maybe 5 years ago, and there was a person, there was a spokesperson from the Department of Education there, and they explicitly said that education is changing. Children don't need to know stuff anymore because they can get all the answers off their phone. They need to apply, they need to know, they need to be taught or helped how to apply that knowledge. So the education system is shifting slightly. So back in, again, anyone in from their 40s and older, we would have done a lot of reading, writing, the 3 hours, reading, writing, arithmetic. That's what most of the day was about. Nowadays, there's less emphasis on that, and it's about applying the knowledge. It's about going, again, we don't need to remember in our head, so we're not, our brain isn't, we're not using the memory part of our brain as much as people in their 40s and 50s would have used, and older than that, because we had to remember stuff. We had no Google. If you were lucky, you might have had an encyclopedia or something like that that you could get a reference off, but you had to remember things if you wanted.
I remember the encyclopedias. Right. We had the New World Encyclopedia, I think it was called, but it was mad money. Like, my ma paid for by the month. And it was like, I don't know, they were like 1,500 quid for, and you got a new book every year. Every year a new book came out and there were on a shelf on the wall in the house that there was like 20 of them, that, you know, A to Z, the encyclopedias. Crazy. That was our Google.
Yeah. I think we had a lot of 12 of them. And again, there were massive books and there was a 12 and they were paid off. They were paid off every week or every month or something
that's
like that. And you had, they had caught a path to pile. But anyway, we diverged a bit. But I suppose what we can see, so are we worried about education? Yes, we should be, because in the last couple of years, the Irish education system went through a fundamental change. The junior cycle was introduced. Okay? Yeah. So the junior cycle, so that's it replaced the old junior cert, and for people of a certain generation, replaced the old inter cert, and then there might even maybe the group cert or something.
Oh, remember the group cert in second year? Yeah, but that was for the kids who wanted to leave and work with their dads as a plumber.
So the junior cycle came in there. It started maybe 6 or 7 years ago with certain subjects, and now for all subjects, we're fully into it now, maybe in the last 3 years. So the current fifth year group are the first full group of students who have done just current the full junior cycle. So what happened there? So first of all, a higher and ordinary level was removed across most subjects. So what you now have, you now have the very best and brightest students in the country in the same class as the weakest students. Wow. So as a teacher, you have to teach content that both of those individuals can understand. And that's challenging because...
You're going too fast for the ones on the lower level and you're going too slow for the ones on the higher level who then get bored. So that's kind of difficult, isn't it? But I mean, I don't think we should ever go back to... Do you remember when I went to school, there was kind of four classes in secondary, as far as I remember, 1 to 4. And the first class was the intelligent kids. And the fourth class, we used to call it the remedial class, right? Which was the kids who, you know, had special needs or the kids who didn't learn very quickly or whatever it was. And but then they changed it where they start mixing kids in together to kind of try and bring the other kids up, you know, and the older kids who were cleverer could help those younger or the ones that were less intelligent maybe, right?
Yeah.
So, which was probably a better idea to some degree. So I understand the challenge that is for a teacher. But getting back to young people nowadays, so we've established that a lot of it's to do with the teaching and the schooling. And by the way, there's been a huge focus on diversity and gender identity and all that nonsense in schools lately. That needs to go. We need to focus on their intelligence, not what they think a man or a woman is. We all should know that. But how that practically plays out in the real world is, I see it that young people of, say, 14, 15 years of age, they weren't like us. We could be left at home on our own and we would fend for ourselves. We would figure things out. We would make mistakes, but we would figure things out. Nowadays, you're seeing kids, now apart from the financial reasons that people are staying with their parents longer, they're staying with their parents longer anyway because they're so dependent constantly on their parents.
You're right. We now have young adults that are living at home. I think something 28, 29 is the average age. Mm-hmm. A son moves out now. That's crazy. I left home when I started in college when I was 17.
Yeah.
And apart from going home for the summers after that, I moved on after that.
Most of us did. We were 18 living in a kip of a bedsit, you know, with beans and pizzas.
Here's the flip of it. So we're keeping children... our young adults in school and education far longer, but we want them to vote much earlier. So as a society, we want to give them high-pressured, responsible duties at a much earlier age, and we want to baby them and mother them for a much longer age. So it's really weird the way things society has gone. But what we need to focus on is what's best for our children. And across the water in the UK, we have the perfect example from an education point of view, what's best. So Scotland was an exceptionally high-performing educational system, and England wasn't doing that well. And that has flipped massively in the last...
So what? Just quickly, because I've only got a couple of minutes, what are England doing differently to what we're doing that's better?
What Scotland have done is Scotland went down the progressive route of education, where basically the teachers decide their own classroom content, and that is what we have followed. So we're 15 years behind Scotland. And what we have seen is the education standards in Scotland drop. England reverted to a more traditional type of education where there's more teaching, where the teachers are the leaders. You put more power in discipline and you talk about the fundamentals. So one concern I have here, if it's, for instance, well-being. In Ireland at the moment, if you do any normal junior cert subject, you have 180 hours over 3 years to learn science or geography or history. But you do 300 hours of well-being talking about the stuff you just mentioned, talking about your feelings, your gender identity, your sex education, all that type of stuff. So it's almost twice as much time on the well-being as it is on a standard subject, which is wrong in my opinion.
Yeah.
So the old junior cert had a few flaws, but it wasn't that bad. The new junior cycle for me is a step down in the quality of education.
What you're saying is we need to go back in time. I mean, the education minister, I don't believe, is doing a great job. I think she's focused on all the wrong things. But we need to go back in time, is what you're saying, and go back to basics, to actually teaching children, you know, about mathematics, teaching children history, teaching children English, whatever it is, and stop focusing on the mamby-pamby stuff.
Yes. And I'm not saying go back in time to the 1960s or 70s.
No,
I'm
of course
not. I'm saying going back to maybe what it was like in the mid-2000s, the late 00s.
Yeah.
You know, that was, for me, a good standard.
Okay.
And sure, we can make things easier and be more diverse, and we can help children who have needs, which is very important. But from an education content point of view, we need to go back about a decade to where we were 10 years ago.
Listen, Eric, thank you very much. It's a very interesting conversation and one we could spend a lot more time talking about because there's so many facets to it. But ultimately, as teachers, parents, we all have a duty and a responsibility to make sure our kids are intelligent. Listen, thank you very much indeed, Eric, and I appreciate you coming on the air. There you go. Eric Nelligan, AIN2 representative in Limerick. I want to know what you think. 085 100 22 55. generally speaking, let's not focus too much on everything that we just talked about, but generally speaking, do you believe kids nowadays are, you know, less intelligent? I mean, I'm looking here at the Daily Mail article. Generation Alpha slammed as feral, illiterate, screen-obsessed iPad kids. There you go. That sums it up, doesn't it? Let me go to Nuala. Hold on again. Where's my thing there? Nuala, hi, how are you?
Hello, how are you, Niall?
Good. Nuala, I mean, do you think that's true? Are they kind of feral, illiterate, screen-obsessed iPad kids?
Yes.
Okay, all of those things. Yeah.
All of those things, absolutely. You know, I've reared two of my own. The eldest is 28, the youngest is 24, both schooled here, despite my English-sounding voice.
Yeah.
And I watched it even back in the UK. I can remember my niece and nephew, my brother's children, my niece and nephew, they'd be in their 40s now, mid-40s upwards. I could remember seeing, well, they did, you know, writing, comprehension.
Yeah.
So they'd write a story and it wasn't corrected. You know, the spelling wasn't, you know, back in my day in the 60s.
It was corrected, yeah.
Big red circle and write it out five times.
Yeah.
You weren't allowed to have your words and your ways in the, do you know, you had to use the right one. And it was all very rote, repetitive. We would sit and we'd do, where
yeah.
is the cat? Where, so on and so forth.
Yes, it was kind of, they do say that in the research, that information is not being drilled in anymore. In other words, yeah, it was drilled into us. Yeah.
Whereas they weren't correcting, and that would be back in the 80s when they were at school. And that would be prime level and secondary level. That wasn't much better either.
Yeah.
And I came to the view even then, I thought, oh, UK standards are really dropping. But I came to live in Ireland with my children in the 2000s, so they went to school here. And I'd always been reared on, you know, the land of saints and scholars, the Irish education system.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
To the UK. And I didn't find that with my children. I found exactly the same thing creeping in the 2000s. You know, comprehension wasn't corrected. They could be pretty obviously poor on math. My daughter was, but she wasn't made to do extra work to drum the things into her. And hence, like, she just left primary school with a bit of a problem.
But you know what,
Nuala?
You'd imagine they would be, because nowadays, when I was in school, there was 44 kids in the class, right? So it was a lot more difficult for the season.
32, 33 in my day.
Yeah, and nowadays it's like 23 or 24, right? So what I'm saying is teachers
mine were in a rural school. So you were talking about 15, 16.
Okay, so here's the thing. Teachers have a better opportunity nowadays to have one-to-one and to help kids individually when they have problems.
Yep.
In our day, they didn't have that opportunity because there was too many kids in the class. But yet we seem to fare off better. But I think
we fared better. We were taught better. There was more discipline, both from within the home.
Discipline,
and
there's the key.
Within the classroom. You know, if I went home and said, oh, well, I got, you know, detention or I got told off, my mother would say, so what did you do?
Yeah.
It wasn't a case of, oh, come here, babe. Oh, I'll give you a hug.
Oh, God bless
that's
you.
The other thing,
you poor
know,
thing.
It's not just education. It is the family. You know, Eric was terribly right about helicopter parenting. I watched it. You know, when I come in from work, when I did go back to work, my children didn't run to the bag I'd got to see what I'd got for them. You know, I babysat whilst I was at home for a friend. Whenever when she came in, they'd run for her bag. What have you got for us? I was like, that's so wrong. You know,
yeah, I know, but our parents were different. When I came in from school, I was forced. The first thing I had to do when I walked in from school, you literally got a hello and you were sent to your room to do your homework, right?
Yes.
There was no hanging around, no playing on your iPad, no having a quick game on the PlayStation. Yep. You were sent straight to your room, do your homework, and nothing was going to happen. No television, nothing was going to happen until you did your homework, right? And my dad and my mom would check to see that I do it. But anyway, okay, so the other point is, as Eric pointed out very quickly too, because I have to go to loads of people here.
Technology on top.
Yeah, we're not retaining information.
But here's
another thing, the independence level. You know, when I was a kid, as Eric rightly said, we were kind of chucked out. We were out on the street, we enjoyed ourselves.
Yep.
Now, I know the streets were safer places in those days, I get all of that. But nowadays, parents, they're mollycoddling the children.
Absolutely. Now, I lived in a rural area, so you've got lanes, so they didn't exactly play out on the lanes. You know, children would come to you. And we had, like, land. You know, we had three quarters of an acre. So there was part of it that was a garden, part of it that was a field. And, yeah, I'd have loads of kids, though, especially during the summer holidays when parents were working. And they'd come over and I'd just say, right, get out there. And they'd come in at sort of 11 o'clock after them. Can we have a picnic down the field?
Can we climb a tree? Can we climb a tree?
And I'd take it down and they'd make a big circle in the long grass. And they'd all sit there on a blanket and have a picnic.
Yeah, as boys, we used to climb trees. I was in St. Anne's Park very recently. And now all the trees have these things like a railings around them to stop kids from climbing on them. And because of health and safety reasons. We used to climb trees. There's nothing wrong with climbing trees.
No, there's nothing wrong.
Stay there for a second, Nuala, because I want to go to Karen. Karen, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Yeah, Nuala agrees too. See, I think we're all going to agree to some degree today, although some people might defend children. But I think teenagers, I'm not saying they're thick, but certainly they're not as intelligent as we were.
I don't think it's a question of they're less intelligent. I think it's just more how they apply themselves today.
Mm.
I think that's the problem, and I think it's how we're learning today.
Yeah.
And like you say as well, when we come home from school, I remember years ago coming from school, the first thing you did, the same thing happened in our house as well growing up. In the door, hello, and you want your dinner, the dinner might be ready, but straight away in and do the homework. That was straight away. But now kids come home, now kids are walking out the door. If you notice them, I see my own teenagers. They're walking out the door, heads are down on the mobile phones.
Yeah.
They're home in the bus or the car, they're on the mobile phones. So when they actually come home, they're not even getting into the homework. They'll sit down, they'll take a couple of hours, get onto the social media, they'll sit down then, and then maybe the homework, the books come out at 7, 8 o'clock in the evening time. And I think by the time that comes around, it's too late. And I see an awful lot of problem in Italy as well. Children are relying on the internet to do the homework. ChatGPT. That's almost literally just a copy and paste.
Mm-hmm.
So they put in the question, rather than actually go to the books that they've been given to reference and to learn, they could be bothered. It's laziness, really, is an awful lot of it. It's not that they're less intelligent, they're just lazy. They don't apply themselves in the same way, I think, today.
I don't even think they're aware of the world around them because, as you rightly said, when you're bringing them to school or you're bringing them anywhere, they're not even looking out the window anymore. Whereas we looked out the window. You take your average teenager, right? Say, you know, let's say you lived in, I don't know, Swords, and you're going into Dublin, right? And you take that teenager, by the time they're 15, they could probably get a bus when we in our age, or they could walk into town. I've often walked into town when I was 16 or 17 years of age, and I lived in Edenmore. The average teenager wouldn't know how to do it nowadays because they're not taking notice of the world around them. They're not looking out the window anymore because they're too involved in their phones, their iPads, and they completely ignore their parents.
Yeah, I agree. It's just the technology, and for all the ways it's good, it's also equally as bad as well. And here we are discussing the topic today about our children. But I think definitely, it's just they're on the phones the whole time, and they don't think anymore. They don't have to memorize anything anymore. Because, I won't bother learning that. Because we were going home, you'd have to learn. You get a text, a comprehension to learn because you have questions on it the following day in school. So you'd be sent home, and you'd have to learn that. Mm. But now they don't bother, you see. They now just go, Google it. Put in the Google and then it throws out the answer to them. ChatGPT is doing all their homework. And all of a sudden then you look at, I guarantee you speak to many teachers say, geez, their homework is fantastic. But all of a sudden then maybe the end of a month, they get a test.
And they have a
clue.
In
the classroom, randomly, and they're having a clue and they're failing. And the teacher's scratching, my God, wait, oh, look at the homework. The same standards aren't being applied.
Yeah.
Because they're cheating and they're not doing it and they're not learning more. And also as well, we are mollycoddling. And I think I put my hands up and say myself, maybe to a degree of my younger lady, sometimes you feel maybe you do and you shouldn't. Molly Collum a little bit, you're doing more.
Do you let her away with murder?
I don't let her away with murder because I'm fairly strict. But my older daughter now says to me, oh, I never got to do those things. I used to get roared up when I was growing up if I did X amount or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But then again, I think we will all say that anyway.
Yeah.
But I look back at myself when I was younger, like I was making bread at 8, 9, 10 years of age.
Yeah.
A child doesn't even know what a packet of flour is anymore.
No, but hang on. But that's the parents' fault because the parents are going, oh, no, I don't trust them with the cooker. But they're 15.
Yeah,
oh, no, I don't trust
that's
them.
That's true.
I don't trust them with the oven.
True.
I'll be afraid they'll burn themselves. They might burn themselves. You know, I go, you just let them do it? If they burn, if they get a little burn on their finger, will they learn not to do it again? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, I used to babysit. I was babysitting at 12, 13 years of age for the neighbour. I used to get a fiver for the night. I go up at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, mind the kids, they'd be gone to the pub or out to a function. I'd have two, three, four children to mind. I'd get a fiver. I'd wash the dishes, sit down, and they'd come home to be delighted.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have that anymore. It doesn't happen.
No, no.
And then we see, we used to like to just like climbing trees. I mean, we used to, I lived in the middle of nowhere in the rural Ireland, and you'd be growing up, you'd be climbing trees. Literally, you'd go up in the morning, have your breakfast, the door would be open, out you go, and I don't want to see you till dinner time. That's really what used to be said to us. And we'd be gone. But now you can't get kids out of the house because they're stuck on a PlayStation or an Xbox or on a mobile phone or a computer, laptop, whatever technology it is. And they're not thinking anymore. They're not out and about, especially boys. Well, boys should be out and about climbing trees, getting physical. It's good for them. It's good for their testosterone levels. It's good for their mind. It's good for everything.
Stay so there. Well, okay, well, stay. Hang on. Stay there, Karen. Stay there. Morris, hi.
How you doing, Niall?
Man of the world you are, Morris. Man of the world.
I got my first job. Got my first job when I was 12. I had my first drink when I was 13, and I've been working ever since. That's 51 years ago. So I think now, basically, what happens is, and we've had a discussion before, 12 and 10 year olds are getting access to porn on mobile phones.
Well, that's
so
not good.
We're destroying children. Mm. We're destroying children with technology. It's gone really bad, and they think that's what growing up is all about: get a drink, get it into you. Get a woman, get a shag, get a house, get a baby, get it all handed to you. They haven't a clue. Niall, the very first thing I bought with me money when I was working at 12, I bought a picture frame for my mother because I had to save to buy it. Yeah. You ask a kid what about saving today, they wouldn't know.
Yeah, myself and Karen were talking about that the other day, that I remember I knew when it was my mother's birthday and I would save some pocket money just to buy her a box of chocolates or something like that. Nowadays, kids don't do those things. Now, I find the kids nowadays are quite selfish. They're not like us. We cared more. But they're just different aspects of, you know, not just intelligence, but the qualities we had. But in relation to their intelligence level or their IQ level, Morris, they're not retaining information anymore because they don't need to. Now, here's an argument, and I'm going to put it to both you and Karen. Okay. They don't need to because all that technology will always be there. So, for example, when we were young fellas and they brought out the calculator first, the schools wouldn't let you use them because that was considered to be cheating. But eventually schools let kids use calculators. So now kids don't need to know or don't need to be as clever at maths anymore because we've got calculators. So should we just accept that this technology is going to be around forever and let the brain focus on something else and it doesn't have to focus on academics anymore?
Well, that's what somebody said at the end of the day with the humans. The humans will be just like human people that press buttons to walk the robots.
Mm.
So we're slaves to machinery and we're going to be slaves to the IT world.
Mm.
And then they won't need us because the robots will do anything. A friend of mine got a present there recently. His daughter bought it for him. And he doesn't have to mow the grass anymore. There's a robotic fucking grass cutter going around and it does the garden. He said, you know, and he said, why did you buy me that? And he goes, I'm sick of looking at you. You're getting older and you're sweating and you're running up and down. This joke will do it. You can sit down now and have a cup of tea or a beer.
Does anyone know if you can get one to paint the house, by the way? I'm just wondering. Anyway, yeah. So, absolutely. I mean, so we are dumbing down. But when we talk about young people, do you think they're less intelligent now? Just from your grandchildren, you would know best. Well, are they less intelligent now than we were? When I say, do they lack common sense?
Exactly. They haven't got life skills. That's it. It's all on the computer. It's all on the tablet. And one of my grandchildren, he's that obsessed with being on the IT pad, right? He actually locked himself in a press. And my daughter couldn't find him for 2 hours because he kept quiet and he turned the sound off. And he was in the bleeding press in the kitchen on the fucking laptop. But there you go. Now, in one sense, he's intelligent that he hid himself away. But in another sense, how addicted he is that he had to go to that extreme to do it.
So he thought she was going to take it off, so he hid himself. Yeah.
Exactly. So you got 2 hours extra over his time, and then she took it off for him for a week. So he learned his lesson then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think what was growing up as kids,
we
were streetwise kids. We knew what was going on. We were streetwise. They haven't a clue. I watched a video last night. My son sent it to me. And there's a woman outside her house, a young girl, probably about 20-odd, and she's pushing her baby in the buggy. And her head is turned the other way on her phone. Her brother sneaked out of the house, took the child out of the buggy, brought it back into the house, and there she is for 2 minutes wheeling an empty buggy. Eventually looks in, the baby's gone. And then she looks back at her phone, and then she looks in the buggy again, the baby's gone. She's looking up and down the street. So he walks out with the baby, and then she goes down on her knees crying, thanking God for her baby. Do you see how she didn't even feel the weight difference in the buggy that the child was taking out of us? And that's a mother. And what's a mother's job? Protect your children at all times. and she was addicted to the phone, and he taught her a lesson.
So absolutely. I couldn't agree more, Morris. Just, Karen, just before I come to Martin, in relation to TikTok you mentioned, I couldn't agree with you more. It's dumbing children down, dumbing them down.
It's because it's the constant dopamine levels of the constant TikTok, and these videos are small, 30 seconds, 40 seconds, and kids are looking non-stop. You see videos online as well. You've got kids on a PlayStation and a mobile phone or tablet, and they're scrolling. And then their attention span then, it's gone. And then when they go to school at 9 o'clock in the morning, they can't apply it. The teacher can't get them. I'm a little kitten here, sorry, tearing my foot. The TikTok videos then, it's dumbing them down, and the constant opening as well, and the needed. And then like, the no attention span anymore. They really, and I think that's a big problem as well. We shouldn't, look, I think if it's got too far now, I don't think we can reverse it. But kids should never have had mobile phones or technology to begin with. They should never have been in it below 16 years of age. And I don't believe now we're going to come to a scenario we're now going to allow the state to become the nanny state, and then they decide, okay, you're 16 or anything before 16 can't have a phone or a device. Yeah. It shouldn't come to the state. It should be up to the parents themselves.
I mean, ironically enough, about 4 or 5 years ago, there was a Fine Gael TD wanted to bring in a ban on the sale of smartphones to children under the age of 16. Now, I never agree with the state being a nanny state or banning it. But in saying that, I thought it was a good idea. I said, because the parents are not willing to do it, maybe we have to. Because the idea, we will look back in 50, 60 years' time and say, how did we allow technology to destroy our children? You know, because it's destroying their relationships with their friends socially. That's according to this article, by the way, in relation to the study. You know, the social cohesion between children, you know, that socialization with children helps their intelligence level. They're not doing that anymore. The only social activity they have now is on WhatsApp with each other or playing a game online with each other. They're not actually going and meeting each other anymore. It's a real problem. No. I mean, look, we're seeing that in relationships as well. Mobile phones destroying relationships because people don't talk to one another anymore. They just sit staring into their phones. Let me go to Martin. Martin, hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well now. Good afternoon.
Good. Mark, go ahead. But do you think, back to the original question, are children nowadays, the teenagers, I'm talking sort of 15 to kind of 19 years of age, are they less intelligent and less independent than we were?
You have a racket in the background.
Yeah, it's Karen with her cat.
I would say they are. I can't find fault with anything that Eric, Karen or Morris have said, or yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Karen brought up a very, very important point, and that has to do with dopamine levels. But there's another issue that I seldom have ever heard discussed, and that is the effect that prolonged use, regardless of the content, prolonged use of electronic screen devices. I'm talking particularly since we went from Valve screens, as they were in the old days, the Valve televisions where you had a very large screen, we're now on to very fast refresh rates on screens. And the effect that has on the physiological effect that has on circadian rhythms, and the circadian rhythms have to do with daylight hours and the changes that takes place in our bodies between, the seasons, the amount of daylight that's available.
Yeah.
And there's umpteen studies have been done, but these, they're published, but they're not publicized. And these effects are extremely telling, particularly in children, as the brain is forming. And they really do have a detrimental effect on brain formation.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. But the other part of it too is there was an interesting part of the study that said that although boys' independence level had increased very slightly, girls had decreased. Now, I'm not surprised that boys have increased because boys' independence level was actually very low because of doting Irish mammies. But girls' independence level has dropped. So, and I think that's a lot to do with parents because as I mentioned earlier on to Karen, you know, you go out for 20 minutes and your child rings you, I'm starving, and you go, all right, I'll make you something when I get home. Whereas our parents would have said, yeah, stick something in the oven there. There's some fish fingers in the fridge, you know what I mean, or whatever. We don't let them, even at 15 or 16, we won't let them operate a cooker. We won't let them operate an oven. We won't let them operate anything in case they burn themselves or in case, we mollycoddle them.
Yeah, and that's so sad. I mean, okay, my daughters are grown women with their own children, but going back, 20 years ago, the important thing for myself and my wife, as she was at the time, was that our daughters be, that they'd be able to cook, that they'd be, you know, they'd be able to do things from 12 years of age. My daughters, they could bake, they could cook, they could do all these things. If I'd had a son, I would have made sure he knew how to change a wheel on a car, change the spark plugs on an engine. You know, like the simple day-to-day mundane things that you have to do.
But the problem is they're not actually seeing their parents doing it anymore either. So you've got girls and boys growing up, 22 years of age, and the only thing they can make is a pizza or chips because they're not watching their parents making dinner because parents are buying takeaways and all this kind of stuff. So they don't know how to do these things, whereas we knew how to do them. You know what I think a lot of us is, particularly girls in our day. I'm sorry, but I have to rush to people. Thank you, Martin, for that. And I do apologize for cutting everybody a bit short. Bernie, hi, how are you?
Born back from the 70s when I was a teenager, when we spots and acne and we Nivea cream and we
your Nivea cream
and we Astral. There were only two creams.
Yeah.
I have three grandsons at the moment who are in their teenage years, and I find them highly amusing and fascinating. I absolutely love them to bits, but they have come to me and said, Granny, you chose how to do how to make bread, how to cook a dinner, how to make a steak, and we did. We sat down, we had it for about 3 or 4 weeks. And they learned, and they were fascinated, and we had a bit of crack doing it. And they're on their screens all the time, so it's lovely to get a chance. But they're also out playing games, but they are different to us.
Yeah.
And I, you know,
are they less intelligent?
Well, they're actually one of them is fascinated more by the Tin Lizzy music, so they're obviously into and want to learn the guitar. They're intelligent. They're short-term intelligence. That's what I would gather it as.
According to the research, their IQ levels are dropping, which is surprising with the amount of technology they have. You'd imagine the IQ levels would be getting better.
Because, I mean, you and I went in with our homework. I mean, regardless, the first thing you did when you came home was take your uniform off and do your homework. I was working at 12, illegally, of course, because I was told them I was 14. But I was working in a factory, you know, in responsible machinery at 12 and 13. And it didn't do me any harm. And interacting, and like I was able to interact with adults and read people, understand people and talk. They don't have that. But I have to say... it's down to the parenting. I think it's unfortunately falling to the parents now. They just have to cop on and go, this is not the way we want our children to rear. I mean, some of them don't even know how to talk to each other. I mean, you can see it. They actually sit at the table and talk to you as they're watching TikTok.
Are they text you from their bedroom? What's that about? Just come down and ask me. You know? They'll text you from the bedroom. Is there anything to eat? Why? You know what I mean?
I mean,
What's wrong with them?
We didn't even have a frozen fridge.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't have a fridge.
Like, I mean, I came from a time when you went down the country, some places didn't even have running water or toilets.
Mm.
You had to go to the well for the water and you had to go to the toilet in a bucket outside. Like, you know, we told that the kids are going, oh my God, was that in the dark? Were you Celtic? You know, where is it the Celt time? No, it was in the 60s and 70s. It was reality, no telephone. Like, they're fascinated by the history when you tell it. But they won't look it up unless you sit down and tell them what it was actually like.
Well, stay there. Actually, stay with me for a second, Bernie, because Angela is not too pleased. God bless her. Angela, I'm reading the headline of the Daily Mail here, which is part of this study. It was originally in the Times, gone back a while ago, right? It was a study by a guy called Ollie Rochberg. Anyway, it goes on to say, Generation Alpha, that's the teenagers of today, are as feral, illiterate, screen-obsessed iPad kids. Why are you outraged, Angela?
I'm outraged because I hate when people will label a child dumb or stupid.
Some of them are.
There's no dumb. No, they're
some of them
not,
are thick as planks. Some of them are thick as planks.
No, you can't. You can't.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
You can. Of course, you can. It's like saying somebody's short or somebody's small or somebody's big or tall.
And you turn around and you call a child stupid or dumb.
I'm not going to say it to their face, clearly. I'm just saying to you, there are kids out there, unfortunately, who are thick.
We were called stupid and dumb by teachers, and like it didn't stop us. We still went on. I mean, you just took it.
Well, I can tell you. I was 50 last Sunday. Woohoo!
Happy birthday.
Just had to get that in there.
Happy birthday.
I actually thought you were older, but whatever.
No,
sorry.
no teacher, no teacher or anybody who is in my authority ever called me stupid or dumb. Now, I'm not the most highly intelligent, I can tell you that. But there is no way any teacher called me stupid or dumb. You know, I hate
Yeah, but hold, well, now, Andrew, wait a second. I'm not going to say it to a child's face, you're stupid, right? I wouldn't say that to a child's face. Of course not. We're talking here amongst our friends, you know, amongst adults. And we're talking about research, which clearly states that the IQ levels of teenagers nowadays has gone down. It's gone down. What does that mean?
The IQ levels, maybe, but I definitely, the one thing I will agree on is that children are mollycoddled. But that's not their fault. That's the parents' fault.
Oh, no, I agree. I'm not saying it's their fault. It's parents' fault for buying them technology, for sitting over their shoulder, for not letting them make mistakes.
I won't say that either. I won't say that because this is the way of the world right now. We all know that. That's the way it is. You get your tablet, you get your mobile.
Yeah, but what we should be doing, yeah, but when you buy the tablet for the 14-year-old, right, or the 15-year-old, or whatever, what you should, or the phone, you should be limiting their screen time. That's your job as a parent. But we don't. But that's the problem.
But skills. The other thing, like I know I came on fuming over you calling him stupid and dumb and all that kind of thing. But the other
feral is another word. Yeah,
feral is another word. You can call him fucking whatever you want.
Illiterate. By the way, they say also illiterate is a word used. And I tell you what, they're actually correct because your average teenager nowadays, compared to us, doesn't know how to spell properly. They can't write properly because they're using Microsoft Word or they're using, you know, predictive text or whatever it is. So they don't know how to spell because everything is spell checked for them. You know, they don't need to know how to do these things.
It's not even that, Niall. That's coming from the parents, right? And I'll tell you why it's coming from the parents. Because when you look back when the mobile phone first came out, what were we allowed? Like 20 letters? In a text message?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
For 10 cents? So everything was abbreviated. Later was L-8-R. U is U. You know, see you later. Like, that's where that comes from. But they still know what they're trying to say. A lot of them do know how to spell. But one thing that absolutely, I know I'm kind of turning my mind now a little bit. None of them can tie a shoelace.
No. So here's the thing. Angela, you come on giving out saying how outraged you are at me or Bernie or anybody else, and yet you're actually agreeing with us.
No.
Yeah.
No, she is. Yeah, you are agreeing. You just said they don't even know how to tie their shoelaces.
Yeah, that doesn't mean they're stupid or dumb.
That does.
It means that they've never been taught because they all have these fucking Velcro shoes.
Oh, stop.
Who
has Velcro shoes?
In your 60s, you might need them because you can't tie laces because your hands are so crippled with arthritis.
Yeah.
That actually happens.
But this is, if you look at it now, kids, right? I mind two kids, right? Well, three, but two are 6 and 8. They can't tie their shoelaces. Because what shoelaces have they got? The ones where you slip
you're minding
the
them.
Ones that have
You're minding them. Would you not teach them?
Oh, try. Oh, Jesus, no.
You walked yourself into that one, didn't you? You're the one looking after them. You're the one responsible for them. Would you not teach them how to do it?
Niall Boylan, I'm going to say something that I've never said to you before.
Yeah.
Fuck you, you little shit.
I'm just saying. That was a bit weird that you said that to us. I'm looking after these kids, but they don't even know how to tie their shoelaces. So who's responsible there, huh?
Their parents.
Yeah. Stop blaming the parents. You're looking after them, for God's sake.
I'm a child minder. I'm not an entertainer and I'm not a teacher.
Doesn't matter. Teach them how to tie their shoelaces. That's the most difficult thing in the world. But they do it. I know they do it because even my stepdaughter, she's 15, she'd walk out and she'd go, she'd have her runners on and she'd come over to me and she'd go, will you tie me lace? But do you know what that is? It's not because she doesn't know how to do it. They just couldn't be bothered. They just let somebody else do it for them.
Do you tie it?
Yes, I do tie it.
Jesus, Niall, you see there? There you go. You walked yourself into that one as well. You tie a 15-year-old's laces. Karen, go out and teach your child how to give some laces.
She knows how to tie them. She just couldn't be bothered. let's stay there for a second, Asna and Bernie. Gladys, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how you doing? I'm enjoying the conversation.
Thanks. Angela objects to the fact that we're calling some kids just dumb or stupid. Look, according to the research...
I might say it silently.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. According to the research, some of them are dumb and stupid because we're not raising them properly.
You're not dumb. But look, there was always that. There was always, you know, all through my life, you know, first thing, and all through everybody's life, you know, that whatever. But the kind of idea of intelligence and the measure of it, you know, what is intellect and what isn't, you know, I would kind of question. There's no cop on. That's what I worry about. It's zombie-like, no cop on. You know,
no sense.
To be able to take care of yourself, i.e. cooking skills, as you talked about, you know, the tech has its place and it has. But in my own personal life, I was a number person and I cannot remember now because of the second phone. Anybody's number?
I know.
Nobody's number.
I don't even know my wife's mobile phone number.
There you go. I don't know your wife's number either.
Yeah. I don't know. Angela, I honestly don't know her phone number.
No, I have no clue. God, I know number. Press number one. Press number two.
Yes. Yeah. No, I know my mom's. I know my dad's. I know my best friends. I know my sister.
No.
I know my brother.
No, if I lose my phone
numbers.
And I'm got, that's it.
I remember one day it happened to me, right? Was it my battery went on the phone? No, I can't remember what it was, or I left the phone in the car. Anyway, I was on my way to Karen and I said, I better ring her and tell her I lost my phone or whatever it was. And then I went, what's her number? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll have a look at my phone. Oh, how can I have a look at my phone? I don't have my phone. Where? I didn't write it down anywhere. What's the number? It starts with 087. So I had no way of ringing her to tell her I was going to ring her, you know. And then I said to myself, how am I going to ring her? There's no phone boxes anymore anyway. So I was out.
You know what, Niall? I know my PPS off by heart. I know my
QPS
off by heart. I know that. I know all of that.
I don't even know my bank account number.
Oh, for God.
Neither do I.
No, I'm really bad with numbers. So because I'm going to be honest with you.
Niall, I think honestly, it was the idea of press one for this number, press two for... My mind has shut down. I still know the number of our phone number when I was young, when I was a teenager.
336-558. That was our first house phone, 336-558.
I still remember that. I couldn't tell you anybody's number now.
See,
I can't call out my mum and dad, right? Because they still use their landline, right?
The point I was making, Angela, is I can remember numbers from people, like a mate of mine's mobile phone number from 30 years ago. I can remember that.
Yeah.
But I don't remember them anymore because I didn't need to remember them. And this is what's happened to kids. They don't need to remember them because the technology doesn't allow that in the numbering,
you know, sort of thing. So I just know from my own personal self that the ability to remember numbers and with absolutely no, and obviously a bit older as well, but that now I know nothing. And that part has shut down because so much easier. Press one, dial that, don't even think about it. Or any kind
is
of
that
learning.
Laziness? Are we just getting
but
lazy?
The one thing I noticed about kids.
So, Niall, can I ask you a question? So, are you stupid and dumb because you can't even remember your wife's number?
No, because I have all the memories from before that where the kids don't have that advantage. So the stuff, I can remember stuff that was in the news in the 1970s, the 1980s, the 1990s. But, you know, kids wouldn't have that obviously now because they don't have the life experience that I have. So what I'm saying is, I'm more worried about the kids now. Forget about me. It's not important that I learn these things. It doesn't matter.
But in school, because
sorry, okay, one at a time. Sorry, Gladys.
Sorry, my in school now, right? But when I was going to school in primary school, there was domestic science. So you learned how to cook, you know, even though I was learned how to cook at home anyway. Mm. You learned how to cook and you brought it home and everybody ate what you made, whatever that might be on that Friday, and you name it. So you learned very clearly how to change a baby's nappy, how to do everything, how to go to the shops and all. And critically, you knew what money meant.
Mm.
You understood what money meant, you know. So if you got your little bit of pocket money,
kids have no value on money anymore. They don't have because everything is on a card or on their phone on an app. They don't understand because they don't physically see it in their hands. I guarantee you, the average 15-year-old now doesn't physically have money. Has probably never seen money because they don't use it. They have Revolut. They don't use it. So, I mean, that's, and all that is part of the problem of the dumbing down of children.
Absolutely, 100%.
She hates that word. Hang on, let me go to another Nuala as well. Nuala, hi.
Okay. Oh, yeah, how's it going? I was just reading a little quote from William Butler Yeats. He says, education is not the filling of a pail, but the lighting of a fire. And if you talk about, say, Patrick Pearse, he talks about the education system of his time as a murder machine. I think we've got the same problem nowadays, in the sense that teachers have no freedom at all. God, they can hardly, you know, they can't, they, there's so much curriculum laid down for them, and there's so many boxes they have to tick every day. The whole idea of education was that you would go to somebody who was learned and that you would learn from them and be inspired by them. You know, so, and a lot of the people, even at third level, they lack critical thinking. Mm. You know, you could have a lecture spilling a whole load of crap and nobody questions it. Like, especially in sociology. Mm. Oh, it's such a crap.
Yeah.
And, like, nobody questions it. And,
Well, my cousin 100%. She's a secondary teacher in one of the roughest schools in Cork, right? It's actually where it's the school that the Young Offenders is based on.
Okay.
And the one thing I'll tell you is they can't open their mouths to them. And these kids can sit and throw things at you and call you every name under the sun. And you're not allowed to say a thing. Mm. And for this kind of an issue as well, I definitely think it's a class thing. Oh my God, I'm going to get murdered for that one.
No, you're right. There is a level of class in it as well. And I wanted to go back just to Nuala, because Nuala thinks they lack critical thinking.
Sorry,
Nuala. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, they lack the critical thinking because they're not allowed to question anything, and it's the greatest failure of all time.
Mm.
Nuala, that's a brilliant line. And I have to say, I completely agree with you. Kids nowadays, they don't critically think anymore. They just follow the herd.
Yeah.
That's why people look at this.
They're also, the universities are not critically thinking either.
No.
They are giving out degrees that are not worth toilet paper.
Yep.
Everybody has to have a degree in absolute nonsense studies.
A degree in, I mean, did you ever hear, a degree in gender studies?
Kid you not. Oh my God.
I mean, what the F is actually gender studies? In other words, I know what a bloke is and I know what a girl is.
Well, you see, that's the problem.
I want my degree, please. There you go. I know.
They've made a third human being. So you have to study that.
Well, according to Vanna Bacik, there's probably 100. She said 100, but Regina Doherty said there was 9.
Many of us,
nine.
So there's critical thinking for you, you know what I mean? So, but every kid now has this aspiration to get a piece of paper that wouldn't get them as far as the mail boat, you know, because they have to get a lift.
Yeah.
They have no clue how to get out.
Okay, well, let me just go sort of come back to Nuala there, because we've cut her short in her prime there and she was on a roll. Sorry, Nuala, go ahead.
I have two nieces in Canada. They were home at the present time. They were both national school teachers. And half of the kids in their classes are on Ritalin, all sorts of drugs and all sorts of tests. And I thought, holy Moses, how could you teach? And because they kind of discipline the kids or kind of say anything, kids are running around the class pinching other kids and they kind of do this or they can't do that. I mean, how in the hell could you teach in a situation like that?
They're all kind of all claiming they have ADHD or something. Now, don't get me wrong, some kids obviously have a learning difficulty or might have a problem. But I mean, but particularly in America, the idea of medicating children has become really common. And it's starting to become common here too, putting kids on Ritalin. I don't understand that. In our day, a kid just, you know, got rid of that energy, particularly young boys, got rid of that energy by throwing them out in the field for 10 minutes and let them climb a few trees and kick a ball. That got it out of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think teachers should have more freedom because they know the class, they know the pupils, they can know how to inspire more and how to bring somebody on and whatever. Why should it be, if you've got a degree and we have also got the HDIP in education, surely you shouldn't be complimented that you know something. Like, you don't have a if you have a plumber, you don't be hanging over him when he's under the sink.
Angela would. I imagine Angela's the type that does hang around.
It's true, Peter should have more.
I have to go because the two boys that I'm mind were going swimming in the lake, right?
So and I'm assuming they're intelligent. They're not like the dumb kids, Angela, no?
Oh, God, no. Highly intelligent. They're
yeah, I'm blown away. I'm blown away by the fact that you think there are kids, that there aren't dumb kids out there. Of course it's dumb kids.
There's not. Stop it. You know how to rise me, don't you? Call a child dumb. Oh, no. Anyway, listen, yeah. I have to go. Have a great day. It's beautiful out today, so, hey, you're stuck in.
Thanks, Angela. Thanks for that. I'll keep talking about the dumb kids. Stay there, Nuala. Stay with me, Nuala, for a second. Carl, hi.
How's it, man? How are you?
Good. Carl, getting back to the original study, it says the IQ of kids has dropped, which is surprising. Well, actually, doesn't surprise me now. And a lot of that has to do with parents, technology, and lots of other things, too.
Yeah, definitely. I do believe technology has kind of stopped the whole, or inhibited the whole critical thinking of kids going forward. But I also believe it comes from lazy parents as well, letting their kids come home. Just letting them go onto a tablet, a PlayStation, and just be there for hours, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when I was a kid, I remember when I got home, the bag was thrown in, and I was out for hours playing football, like bulldog charge, tip the can. Your mum used to have to drag me in to get me dinner, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's the way it was. I just feel now parents are just like, they're grand, they're out of the way now, they're quiet, so I can kind of do my own thing, you know?
Yeah,
I feel like that it's kind of evolved with the times, and I'd love to like come back home from work or whatever and see loads of kids playing out on the road or fields and things like that.
I think it's really sad, isn't it? I mean, when you go out on a beautiful summer's day, and it's rare we have those in this country, but you go out on a beautiful summer's day and the fields are empty. You know what I mean? There isn't kids out in fields. There isn't kids out on the road. They're all sitting in the house on a warm, hot day playing their PlayStation. My mother would have never allowed me to, in our days the only thing we had was television, right? But my mother would never have allowed me to sit on a summer's day watching television. It wouldn't have been allowed. You would have to go out. You know?
Now, I also feel this soft touch approach from parents these days as well. Kids these days are way too muddy colored. You know, you have to, at a certain age, you kind of have to start thinking for yourself and have a little bit of common sense. Like, from a young age, my mum had me doing the dishwasher, and at the end of the week, I'd get a fiver and I'd buy my own 3-in-1 and chicken balls. Now, if I got a bad school report, and I used to get a video on a Friday, if I got a bad school report, there was no chance I was getting that video. You know, I'd be kicking, screaming, snots going everywhere. I brought home, you're not going out, you know, and that taught me, well, look, I'm not going to get away with acting the fool.
They don't do chores. So you were saying when you were young, you know, you'd empty the dishwasher, you do whatever, and you might get a bit of a reward for it or whatever. But the kids nowadays, they feel they don't have to do any chores.
See, that's the thing, and it's too easy going. I didn't, like, get money, pocket money for nothing. I had to do something. Even if it's as simple as doing a dishwasher, it's a little bit of responsibility. Helping your mum in, bring in the shopping, helping your mum putting it away, you know what I mean? Giving the house a clean and the hoover and things like that. Now, I actually am a little bit OCD, so I didn't mind doing that. It wasn't as much of a chore for me, but still, you earn your way, you know what I mean? And when I was 13, I was put into my auntie's fruit and veg shop in the kitchen, you know, lugging around 9 kilo bags of potatoes from 10 to 4 Monday to Saturday. I think it's got 80 to 100 quid, and I thought I was a king. And that gave
if you did that now, you'd be accused of child abuse.
But just stop, you know what I mean? I like that as well. If I act in the baguette as well, I got a clip on the arse or the back of the head, it didn't do me any harm either.
I'd say Nuala was out working when she was young. Nuala, what age did you start working?
Oh, well, I was working for the summer when I was about 14, but I didn't finish school till I was nearly 19.
Okay.
I thought I was ancient. But most people would have worked for the summer.
Yeah.
Because you had to pay for the fees.
Kids don't even do summer jobs anymore. And there was a day when your average 15-year-old would go out, you know, cutting grass, delivering newspapers, whatever it was, working at the local shop. You know, at 15 and 16 years of age, kids don't do that. Even the thoughts of that nowadays for a child is horrifying.
Yeah.
Well, you get the cards knocked off you. You know, in work, you get the cards. I remember now somebody sends you down the back for rounds. You know, if I was working in a wholesale shop, you know, and they'd send you down the back for a box of round square bouncers or something like that, or a glass hammer or something like that.
I remember that,
so you learn kind of. you'd be very smart after a while because you'd go.
I remember the glass hammer and the sky hook and all those things. Actually, the first job I ever worked at was an electronics factory. They were making 3-in-1s. Not 3-in-1s, not the takeaways, Carol. These were electronic 3-in-1s. They were like radios, record players and things. But the first day I was there, I was sent, because I was the newbie, I was only 17, and I was sent over to the other factory that had the components and the parts. And your man said to me, will you go over to the other factory there, he says, and get me a bag of FM signals. And I went over like a tick. And I said to the lad, I said, they're looking for a bag of FM signals. And he says, yeah, hang on there, I'll get them for you now. And I was left standing there for an hour waiting for the bag of FM signals.
I got caught with a long stand when I don't
know. You didn't bother the long stand.
I did. And you know what, though? I was able to take a slagging after it. You know, that's a part of life.
Skirting ladder. Do you remember the skirting ladder?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Noel is right. You wouldn't be allowed to do that. That would be considered workplace abuse if you did that to somebody now.
Yeah.
You know, bullying.
That's where they're too muddy coddled these days. They turn into little, I don't know if it's a better word, bit of wimps these days. They can't even take a slagging. You know, but that really kind of helped me to kind of grow up and kind of be able to take a slagging. Don't take things too seriously when it's just a bit of a laugh. You know what I mean?
Or striped paint was the other thing, wasn't it? Striped paint.
Another, with the education system down Niall, I feel like, you know, I wasn't the best in school. No, I did try, but like I was more sporty. I was more hands-on musically and doing art and things like that. I think that should be kind of pushed more, kind of helping kids nurture their talents. You know, some of them aren't into books. Some kids are naturally, like, they just look at a book, look at a page, and they'd be able to remember it. Some kids aren't, and they might be more sporty, might be more hands-on, more practical stuff. And I feel if there was more kind of a curriculum push towards kids like that aren't book smart, that would be beneficial as well, especially in sports. Like in America, they do scholarships and things like that. Like someone that's just not interested in books and history and things like that, like it is like interesting as you get older, but sometimes I just feel that their skills could be nurtured better towards other things. You know, I feel the curriculum is something to look into there for Ireland anyway.
All right, let me go to, sorry, I do apologise, something got me throat there. Jonathan, hi, how are you?
Hey, Noel, how are you getting on today?
Jonathan Grant, do you feel kids nowadays, I mean, is this just a myth that their IQ levels are lower? Or are they genuinely lower?
They're genuinely lower. I think the education is just getting worse. Like you said, you're spending more time telling kids now about, that degree now you can get in colleges about gender studies and all this crap. Like, it's a waste of time, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's a waste of a day. Like, why would spend a day telling a kid that a man is a man and a woman is a woman? You know, you don't need to tell them that.
But this is the problem, though. You see, we're intentionally making kids dumber and dumber and more pliable. You know, to silliness type thing. Like say, you're talking about there, for example. I left my lad down yesterday to play with a friend. As I went to collect them last night at 7 o'clock, and the two of them were at the top of a tree.
Wow. That's where they should be.
But that's my young man climbing trees all day long, if you let me know. I live in the countryside there. He's out in the tree. On a day like today, like you were saying, my kids don't sit inside on a day like today. They're outside playing or they're doing something, reading a book outside, listening to music in the sun. Or, you know, but no, I think I sent you a link there. There was a study done by NASA in the 60s, I think it was, and it was about just 5-year-olds. They gave a load of 5-year-olds.
Did you send me that link? I saw it. I read through it. Yeah.
And just, you can see progressively in the education system, they're dumbing them down, they're taking the natural ability away from them. You know, this mass blanket and teaching everyone the same and not letting anyone think differently and not encouraging critical thinking, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah, we're all like little robots, we're all the same. And that's what the problem is with children nowadays. They're all seeing the same stuff. They're all on TikTok, they're all on Facebook, they're all on Twitter, they're all on whatever it is. And they're all doing the same thing and seeing the same, whereas we were all different.
We were, and like I said, it's that thing again. It's like, I don't really care how a child gets to answer a question, how he gets to the proper answer, it's just as long as he gets there. He can go around about any way he wants to, you know what I mean? But this thing, like, that's the wrong way to do it. But I got the same answer. Like, my young was like that in school with sums and all that. So you can walk on ahead, whole way of getting to an answer. And I've told her going to school. School is there to give you information. It's not there to tell you how to think.
No. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, when it comes to maths, for example, there's a particular way of doing things. But if you find a better way or a way that suits you better, well, then that's okay too.
And that's it, and she does it her own way because she just finds her own way through. You know, she had a couple of math tutors over the years because she was defined an average of 5 grinds, and we had a couple of grinds and that. So you're a few different people teaching her different ways of going about things, and she figured out in her own head then. Now, she's only 12, but she wants to be a school teacher when she's older. That's what she wants to be, you know.
Yeah.
that's a plan. But like I said, I think it is. They're not allowing, children are not allowed to think anymore for themselves. Like I said, everything is done for them or handed to them or just like the air. They're being dumbed down, and it's not their fault, obviously. It's parents and the education system.
How do we fix that? I think Eric was right at the start of the show. We said we need to focus more on the education and not on these kind of social issues. You've a Minister for Education at the moment obsessed with gender issues.
Well, like you said, things that are going to affect them in their lives, like they don't debate in schools, I don't think. They learn how to debate. Learn how do you vote in this country at a certain age. Now, I'm not saying you teach 7-year-olds that, but at a certain age, you teach them things that are going to affect them in their lives and how. Look, I don't think you know how to vote in this country. That would be a good education thing. Look,
absolutely.
Back to home economics, back to learning about money, because now my kids, they physically hold money because I don't do the tap, tap, tap all the time. I'm a big believer cash is king.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, my young lad doesn't know how much money he has upstairs in his bedroom, but he still wants to spend your money.
Yeah, well, it's just, but they always want to spend your money, not their own.
But he wants to, but he give you the spiel, you know, I want all that for a birthday coming up or for somebody else it is. But, you know, no, I think it is. I think across the board they're being failed, and it is lazy parenting, it's lazy education system, it's the wrong education.
Okay, so a lot of it's our responsibility as parents. I couldn't agree with you more, Jonathan. Thank you for that. Let me go to Ed and Maria just before we finish. Ed, hi, how are you?
How's it going?
Good, Ed. You know, people are giving out to me here saying I'm being unfair on children. I don't think I'm being unfair. I'm only telling you the results of the study, that they're less intelligent. Their IQ levels are lower than ours were.
They are, but I think the systems they're in are totally out of touch as well for, you know, a future for them, because the last generation lived in an agriculture economy. Mm. Now it's kind of they live in a consumer-based economy, so that's all they know. And they grew up in technology. The last grew up through the church times, you know.
Yeah, well, the industrial revolution, I suppose. Yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
They're in a different institution, and it's institutional reform is what we need as well.
Yeah.
Because the education system isn't going with times at all. They're still on the same education that the last generation were in.
Yeah.
So it's not really going with them. It's not really helping them.
So how do you change the educational system to help them to progress?
Well, I think they need to be more productive, because they're consuming a lot, but they're producing very little. You know, over the last generation, you even see it now in the retired generation, where they're keeping bikes and stuff that were like 20 years old, and because that's how they grew up,
yeah,
and making the most of everything they had.
Yeah,
and where this the youth today,
everything is disposable.
Yeah, everything is disposable, and that's all they know. So I think that mentality does need to change with you, right? Definitely, and they need to be more productive.
Mm. Well, that's a good point, by the way. In relation to their independence levels, say the average 15-year-old. Do they think the average 15-year-old is as independent as you were when you were 15?
Oh, definitely not. Before, even when you were 12, you could go out and you go away for the whole day, and your parents would just come back by the end of the day before it gets dark. So no, they're definitely less independent, and that definitely does need to change. They definitely need to be outside more than inside. Before it was get outside, no, it's stay inside.
We weren't allowed. I wasn't allowed to stay inside. I mean, my mother would have never allowed it on a hot, warm summer's day. You know, unless it was pissing out or something like that, she wouldn't let you stay inside. Thank you for that, Ed. Let me go to Maria, or Marie. Maria. Marie. Marie.
Hi.
Hi, Marie. Marie in Donegal. How are you doing?
I'm good. I totally agree that the social media has taken over kids' lives. Like, it's absolutely unreal, their lack of social skills at the moment. Now, my case, I'm a mum who suffered from MS, and I've had MS since my child, he's 12 now, since he was born.
Okay.
So I've never been able to hold hands or carry that. So he's always been very independent because he's had to do things by himself. But right now, I am in the progressive stage. I am in bed a lot. I'm also in a wheelchair. I rarely go out. He actually, since the age of 7, he's had to, I do a little shop and live.
Yeah.
But Aaron's driving to the shop. He does the shopping for me. And now, for the last couple of years, he does the cooking as well, because I cannot use my right hand. So he cooks meals. He would cook the shepherd's pie, lasagnas, chili con carnes, everything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he loves it.
But doesn't this go to show you that because you were forced into that situation because of your health, that, you know, if you actually try, they can do all of these things.
Yes, they can. And I used to feel very guilty about not doing anything. But I've always said to him that, yes, your mum can't go and do things with you and all the rest. Do you know what? The time, because I am unable to go to work, I'm unable to be stressed about all the other things, every single hour of the day that I have, that I'm awake, I have with you.
Mm.
So I said to him, you should think yourself of being blessed in that way, that, you know, I'm fully with him all the time.
That's a great outlook to have, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, okay, but see, he's an exception, and he sounds like a wonderful child, by the way. You should be so proud. But he's an exception.
He is an exception in that sense, but I will also say because I am not doing much, he is, like other kids, on the iPad all the time.
Yeah.
So, yes, he definitely lacks social skills. Now, I will say, again, that is in relation to me not being out socially amongst people. So, therefore, he hasn't learned how to do that, how to have the conversations. Mm. The only conversations he has is with me. So, when he's with his friends, etc., I do notice, yes, they get on great. They have great chats. But the chats are always related to things they see on the computer.
Or Fortnite or something.
And all the games they play are related to certain games they play on Roblox, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, there's always that element in the background of, you know, whatever they see on the internet.
By the way, can I just mention, there's some comments just coming in because we go out live on YouTube as well. And there's people commenting on YouTube and they're calling him a little hero. He sounds like a little hero, to be honest with you.
And actually, the other day, I bought him a desk for his bedroom for studying because he's going to secondary school now. And it's been sitting in a flatback box for months. Because I was like, what am I going to do with this? We took it apart the other day. I bought him a little, electric screwdriver on Amazon, just.
Yeah.
And he sat there and put the whole thing together himself. And he moved the furniture in his bedroom, with my supervision, obviously. I wrote instructions, he built it all, and it's perfect. And I couldn't be prouder, I have to be honest, because he's been made to do these things.
So what, are you sitting there going, okay, put that screw in there. Okay, yeah, go back. No, the other one, yeah. So are you giving the orders, yeah?
No, No, but he's very, he says, I have no patience because yeah, okay, I'll just.
And does he make a good shepherd's pie? Yeah, he does.
Oh my God, delicious.
Yeah. So what else? Yeah. So he does chili con carne, shepherd's pie. What else does he do?
Lasagna, bolognese. He does like these wraps in the air fryer. He makes my lunch, dinner. Breakfast just cereal. But yeah, he does all the shopping, everything as well. So
wow.
I send him with a list, but he always comes back with really interesting things, like, you know. So
a little bit extra that's not on the list, like But I have to say, you know, he is certainly one in a million, and an exception to the rule that we've been talking about today. Because I mean, he will go on to live a very good independent life.
But what I will say, Niall, is you're talking about the shoelaces. He can't tie his shoelaces.
He can't tie his shoelaces, and you can't tie them for him either. So what does he do? So he walks around with the shoelaces hanging open all the time. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, but honestly, I'm surrounded by...
And by the way, Maria, how is your MS now? How are you feeling?
As I always say, I mentally absolutely fine, physically absolutely rubbish.
Yeah, yeah. And is it getting progressively worse? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It will. I mean, honestly, you just deal with what comes. And
how is he with your illness? Is he okay with it? I mean, does he worry about you?
He doesn't see any difference. Like, he's just absolutely fine with it.
No, I mean, is he worried? Because, you know, the way children worry about their parents being sick, or they worry about... I mean, there was always this thing, isn't it, when you're a kid, you don't want to see your parents be getting hurt or, you know, or being ill or whatever. Does he worry about you? I'm sure he does.
He's used to it. He's used to it.
Yeah.
And he's, like, even as a kid, when I would avoid accidentally fall, because I take it in my stride and I laugh at myself quite often, if I fell on the ground, he'd jump on top of me. Top of me and go, giddy up, horsey. Because I don't take myself seriously, and neither does I. We have a great relationship insofar as we just have the banter and laugh at each other. We take nothing seriously.
Sounds like a great relationship you have with him. A wonderful relationship.
Yeah, and I thought, well, that everything, like not to leave anything on the internet, he knows that he's well cued into scammers and this video's fake and that's fake and, oh my God, you know, he's totally into all those things. We talk about all that stuff. And I do, like, in the back of my mind as well, I know that there are other things at play worldwide, that there is a plan to dumb down our kids. So I'm very aware of that. So I keep that in the back of my mind at all times.
Well, look, he sounds like a very intelligent young man that's going to make somebody... a lovely husband at some point in the future in his life, by the way, because he's very well trained. Marie, it's been lovely talking to you. Thank you very much indeed. And I wish you good health going forward, but certainly the best of health that you can have going forward.
Thanks. Great show. Thank you.
All right. See you then. There you go. There's Marie, 12-year-old, makes a dinner, looks after her, says she does everything for her, goes shopping. She should be so proud of him. There's not many 12-year-olds who do that nowadays, let me tell you. Some of the messages, by the way, coming in, I disagree. My nephews, nieces, and my son are more intelligent than me. And I know I'm one smart lady, says Dolly on Facebook. I disagree, or somebody else says, I don't agree, just different. I love our youth. My three grandsons and grandkids, all young adults, are amazing and well-balanced people, thank God. Stephen on Facebook says, the technology is the problem. They have become reliant upon technology and have lost the ability to think for themselves. Eileen would like to send along WhatsApp messages, says, I can't go on the show today, but yes, it's just teenagers. The human race is decreasing in intelligence. That's been the pattern for a good while now for the IQ ratings. If you wonder why the Irish government are making stupid decisions, it's because they're most likely more stupid than their European colleagues. We're something like sixth in the bottom when it comes to IQ ratings of all European stats. Teenagers are not independent, too mollycoddled and easily led. The day is gone when you started work at 18, maybe 159 miles from home in the civil service or the banks or wherever, and had to pay for the rent and a manky flat. The laundry was taken home at the weekends. No such thing as a washing machine or a dryer in any of those places. A sink and a kettle. No decent transport. Hitching, begging lifts. Don't remind me. If they had to do that now, they'd be looking for counselling. You're right. Yeah, they just wouldn't be able for it. Imagine sticking a 19-year-old now into a bed sit, you know, with no internet, because we didn't have internet in those days. Books is all they had to read. Listen, thank you to everybody who got involved in the show today. It's been a little bit different, obviously. There's been a lot of stuff in the news this week. We wanted to kind of take away from the negativity a little bit and brighten it up a little bit today in relation to that topic, because I thought it was an interesting piece of research about young people. But we will get back to the news stories again, back again tomorrow at 12 o'clock. So please do continue to support the show. As I said yesterday, it is the end of the month. All our bills come in today and yesterday. So please do support us. We have to pay those bills. We don't care that we don't get paid for doing it. We do get some money from subscriptions and donations, but it's not enough to pay the bills every month. You have no idea how much it costs. It's expensive. So please do help us. If you can, just throw us a tenner or a fiver. Go onto our website, nileboylan.com. You can subscribe once a month. It's the price of a cup of coffee. You're watching the show for free now. So give us something for doing it and for giving you that bit of entertainment or bringing you up to date with news stories on a regular basis, which we also do as well. So please do that for us. Go onto our website, nileboylan.com. It's all we ask you to do so we can continue to provide this platform for you to come on and generally a little bit different today, obviously, but to have an uncensored opinion and view on things. You will not get that on the radio in this country. You won't get that on Joe Duffy. You won't get it anywhere else. When we're talking about, say, Coolock says no, or protests, or referendums, or elections, or whatever it happens to be, the more serious issues, and you can come on and you can have your say, you can have your opinion, and I will never censor it. But if you want any radio station, I guarantee you, you will be censored. They will not let you say certain things because, as you all know, news stations like RTE, Virgin Media, they all have a narrative, you know, and we all know what that narrative is. You listen to them, you listen to the government, or you listen to nothing. So please do support us. NileBoylan.com is the website. Do it now. Don't leave it later because you'll forget. Just go on. Throw us a fiver right now. And that would really help us to pay that those bills today. Thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.